Thank you for joining us. We pray that as you listen today, that you are encouraged and inspired, and we would love for you to connect with us on social media. Now here's today's message.
It's not like any other thing in the world, preaching. It is a God-ordained process. It's not like giving a speech. And there's a dearth today of preaching. And what we have today are pulpits, well-meaning people, but what they're doing is pretty much motivational speaking. And there is not necessarily any anointing on motivational speaking. It's like political speech. It might be correct. It might be good, but it's not supernatural. It's not preaching until it is the Word of God. The Word of God is the seed. In the Word of God is life. And that means if the preacher can get in anointing of the Lord, and if you can become anointed, he that hath an ear, let him hear, and you can hear, whatever in your life is not good, the preaching of the Word of God can resolve it just like that, instantaneously, supernaturally, immediately, a miracle can take place. Suddenly your body can be healed. I had a man in the building next door that had been involved in an accident, and his neck was totally to the place where he couldn't move his head. And while I was preaching the Word of God, those near him said it sounded like a gunshot. Something popped in his neck, and after years of not being able to move his head, suddenly he had total free use of his neck. That's the power of the Word of God. And that doesn't always have to be something physical. It can be something spiritual. The Word of God is supernatural. It can change your life. And that's the reason why it behooves you to listen to the Word of God. He that hath an ear, say, God, feed me. And I'll tell you what else the Word of God can do. I can preach a sermon and say certain things, and different people get different things out of it because they have different needs. Many times I've preached, somebody would contact me and say, Pastor, that changed my life. When you said so-and-so, that was not my thought, that was not my intent, but it was what they needed, and God took what I said and made it and tailored it to them personally so they would get their personal miracle. By the foolishness of preaching, it pleased God to save us. So let's preach the Word of the Lord. Let's turn to the Word of the Lord today. 1 John chapter 1, verses 8 and 10. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and the word is not in us. It's interesting to note that this was written to saved people. It was not written to the world. And he says this to people that are saved. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and the word is not in us. Romans 3:23. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Romans 5:12. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed unto all men for all that have sinned. The word sin appears in the Bible 415 times, 308 times in the Old Testament, and 107 times in the New Testament. So it appears in the Bible 415 times, and it'll appear in most churches today zero times. In fact, a friend of mine, a pastor of a mega church, told me that we have literally redacted the word sin. We do not use the word sin in our pulpit because it is an offensive word. You may be seated. I'm going to talk to you today on the subject, a beautiful sermon on sin. A beautiful sermon on sin. The inevitability of sin. My text have told you that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Bible said that Jesus was passing by and he saw a man which was blind from his birth. His disciples were with him and they questioned Christ and said, Master, why is this man blind? Did he sin or did his parents sin? Jesus answered them, neither had this man sinned nor his parents. He's not blind because he has committed some sin or his parents committed some sin, but he said he's blind that the works of God should be made manifest in him. That's a unique context that Christ gave us there. But the truth is, what he was saying was that sin is an inherent thing and it produces painful things in humanity. Everything bad that happens in this world is because of sin. From sickness to murder, everything that happens bad is because of sin. Just think about it. If it were not for sin, there'd be no hospitals. There'd be no doctors. There would be no locks on your doors. There would be no penitentiaries. There would be no policemen to arrest someone. All because of sin. Everything bad that happens is because of sin. Sin is many times not an action. That's what Jesus was saying. This man didn't sin. His parents didn't sin. There was no action. But it is the inherent nature of mankind. The Bible said by one man, that man was Adam, sin entered into the world. There is a price of sin. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law, the Bible declares. There is a punishment for sin. The Bible tells us that the greatest punishment for sin is that we will be banished from the very presence of God. This quarantine business that we've been in from COVID has been very limited. But I don't like quarantine. I like freedom to be able to go where I want to go, whenever I want to go, with somebody saying, no, you can't come here. I went to McDonald's up here to Judson Road this week, and they still are not allowing you to go in. I said, what about a football game where they've got 100,000 people shoulder to shoulder and 10 people can't gather in a McDonald's? We need a little consistency in this thing. I don't really have a problem with the government helping us and staying free from this virus, but consistency would be just wonderful. If we could just become consistent so we would know what to do. For the wages of sin are death. The sting of death is sin. The number one fear in the world is the fear of death. The number two fear is the fear of public speaking. I've handled public speaking. Death is upcoming. But it is the greatest fear in the world. But the sting of death, he did not say death is the thing, but the sting of death is sin. For the Bible declares that death is not a sting for the believer, but it's precious in the sight of God. The punishment of sin, quarantine from God, God's people and God's heaven. The Bible declares in Ephesians 4:18, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God. You will never be happy until you are part of the life of God. God is an exciting God. God has an exciting life. Everything about God is exciting. And if you're alienated from the life of God, not only will you suffer boredom, but real pain. Jesus himself said, this was Jesus, and he said, cast ye the unprofitable servant into outer darkness where there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. That's the punishment of sin. Man's response to sin. When man realizes there is a sin, he wants to respond to it. And that's what education is about. That's what motivation is about. That's what self-improvement is about. That's what self-esteem is about. We want to do something about sin. But the Bible declares in Isaiah chapter 64, verse 6, but we are all an unclean thing, and all of our righteousnesses are as filthy rags, and we all do fade as a leaf. Our iniquities, like the wind, have taken us away. When man realizes that it is a sinful existence that we are a part of, he wants to help himself, that man that is intelligent. He wants to improve himself. And we think that perhaps we can do it by ourselves. But my friend, that is a false ideology, that we can save ourselves. I remember years ago in Mattoon, Illinois, a wonderful lady, one of the sweetest, kindest ladies I've ever met, was a school teacher by profession. She was just a doll, just a sweet lady. She came to the altar when I preached, and she said, I suppose I need, from what you've said, to be filled with the Holy Spirit, but I personally don't think I need the Holy Spirit, because she said, let me tell you about my life. She said, my father was a pastor. I was raised in a pastor's home. And she said, I've never done anything unkind. I've never hurt anybody. She said, I've never used a swear word in my life. I've never told a lie. She said, I've never done anything that I regret. She said, as far as I can tell, I just have lived a perfect life. She was making that same assumption that the disciples were making, that your actions are your sin. It's not your actions necessarily that is your sin. It is your nature. That's the reason why Jesus would tell Nicodemus, a religious man, you must be born again. You must change your nature. But man, as long as he is outside of the gospel, cannot reconcile that thought that I must be changed from the inside out, that I must have a new birth. I must become a new creature in Christ Jesus. That's just not man's intellect. It takes a spiritual revelation to realize that you cannot please God until you're born again, that Christ must come into your heart. Michael Bloomberg, this is the third time I've used this because it shocked me. I'm not shocked often. I watch a lot of news, and they do exactly what I expect them to do. But when Mr. Bloomberg, a billionaire, former mayor of New York City, he said he is so proud of himself, he said, I'm ready for the judgment day. He said these very words, I'm telling you if there is a God. Mr. Bloomberg doesn't know whether there is a God or not. But he said, if there is a God, when I get to heaven, I'm not stopping to be interviewed. I'm headed straight in, he told reporter Jeremy Peters. I've earned my place in heaven. It's not even close because I have given $50 million to the anti-gun lobby. That is shocking. But friend, that's really the way most people think. Maybe not $50 million, but I've been a good husband, or I've been a good neighbor, or I've helped my community, or I've been an educator, or a health caregiver, or a pastor, or an usher. I've done something good for society, and so I am going to be all right. But the Bible said all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Short. You failed. You came up short. You simply did not make it. And when we talk about receiving Christ as our personal Savior, Billy Graham preached it for years. Almost every church uses that phrase. Accept Christ as your personal Savior. Let Christ come into your heart. What are we really talking about? We should be talking about what Christ spoke when he talked to Nicodemus about being born again. What it means is that we now come to this understanding that through all of our efforts and all of our energy, we can't save ourselves. It doesn't matter how often you come to Living Way or how big your check is. It will not save you. It's not about religion. It's about relationship. Somebody has to come in, and there is none. Pastor Brandon's teaching on that. God could find nobody to swear, so he swore by himself. There is nobody except Christ Jesus our Lord. Jesus Christ became our sin substitute. When I realized that sin was a killer, when I realized that the pleasures of sin for a season were not my friend, but they were slow death, I recognized somebody had to do something, and nobody could do anything. Not my mother, not my father, not my Sunday school teacher, nobody except Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ literally took my place. Do we understand the tremendous expense that Christ brought to this earth when he left his place in heaven, a place of wealth, a place of beauty, a place of joy? He left all of that for one purpose, and that was that he might come to be my substitute. He literally came in my place. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, and Christ became that substitute. He was wounded for my transgressions. He was bruised for my iniquities. The chastisement of peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. We are like sheep that have gone astray. We have turned away everyone in his own way. The Lord hath laid on him, on Christ, the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed. He was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. Christ did not protest the payment that he had to make for me. He did not signal the Father in heaven, it is too much. He said, I will literally take the sins of Steve Fender and I will take them to the cross. Not only did he take my sins, listen to what he did. blotting out the handwritings of ordinance that was against me, which was contrary to us. He took them out of the way and nailed them to the cross. It's one thing to be forgiven. It's something else for all evidence for you to be totally annihilated. He took the evidence that was against you. Not only that, Jesus rebuked the accusers against me. When we see the woman taken in the act of adultery, the greatest thing that happened there was when Jesus said, "Where are thine accusers?" He had sent them away. And then he said, "Neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more." Christ not only took my sins away, he not only literally said, "I will take away the evidence," he said, "I will take away the rebuke. I will rebuke your accusers, and when they rebuke you, I will accuse them of lying." The Bible said not only that, he bore our sins, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on that tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live under righteousness. Ladies and gentlemen, if you ever truly get saved, if you ever truly get born again, if you ever truly realize that the greatest enemy of mankind, sin, no longer has a hold on you, you can't help but be a singer of hymns and a praiser of God. You can't help but be one that exalts him. David understood where the Lord had brought him from, the pit that he had been digged from, and that's the reason why his psalms are filled with praise. And ladies and gentlemen, you cannot assign praise to somebody else. You can't assign it to the people that stand on this platform. When you get a revelation that sin no longer has a dreadful hold on you, that it is not pulling you downward, but God is pulling you upward, there is no way that you can keep from being a praiser. You will find your own way to be grateful. You'll find your own way to be a praiser. You'll find your own way to exalt the Lord, because the gratitude of your heart mandates it so. Not only did he bear our sins, but the Bible said if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive our sins. He not only bore our sins, he also forgives our sins. Oh, he did a job on sin, ladies and gentlemen. Not only did he forgive our sins, I am he that blotteth out the transgressions for my own sake and will not remember thy sins. God not only forgave your sins, God blotted out your sins. Not only did he blot out your sins, but the Bible said that he forgets your sins. Your mother-in-law might remember it, your pastor might remember it, but there is a God that chose to make sure that his mind could not even retain your sins. God does not remember your sins. I have told you about the great pastor in Port Arthur, Texas. One of the greatest preachers and pastors I ever knew told me that for 20 years, every time he got to pray, down to pray, he asked God to forgive him for the same sin of his youth. When he told me that, my ears pricked up. What could this holy man be guilty of? Well, he didn't ever share with me the sin. He was just telling me this. One day after 20 years of asking God to forgive him for the same sin, God spoke to him and said, "I'm tired of your prayer, because I don't know what you're talking about. You've been asking me to forgive you of a sin that I can't even remember, and you've been asking it for 20 years. Ladies and gentlemen, the Bible said he will not remember our sins. Not only does he not remember our sins, not only does he forgive our sins, not only does he blot out our sins, the Bible said, as far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. Your sins as far as the east from the west. How long does it take to get from California to New York? Your sins are farther than that. How long does it take from get from Texas to the far east? Your sins are farther than that. From the east is from the west. Not only that, we love to talk about the fact that the Lord's mercy is fresh every morning. How can that possibly be? I'll tell you how it is possible. In Romans 8, chapter 8, verse 34, who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who hath made intercession for us. Not only did he do it one time 2,000 years ago, but everything that you have done, every day, Christ goes to the right hand of the Father and intercedes for you. That when you wake up, you don't wake up to an old world. You don't wake up to past problems. You don't wake up to past sins. The Bible said his mercy is fresh every morning, because while you slept, there is a man called Christ. There is a God incarnate called Jesus, and he intercedes at the right hand of the Father for you every day. This is one of my favorite scriptures in all the world. Some men's sins are open beforehand, going before to judgment, and some men's they follow after. Ladies and gentlemen, there is a whole array of people in this world that have never ever asked God to forgive their sins, and so their sins follow them every day of their life. But there is a throng of people. There is a multitude. There is a crowd. There are hundreds of thousands, millions of people, maybe a billion people that have said, Jesus Christ, I recognize the cancer of sin and what it does to humanity, and I simply want it to be disposed out of my life. I want it to be taken away. And because of that, your sins that you were born with, the sins that you have committed are no longer there. They've gone forward. And because of that, they have been atoned. They've been washed in the blood of Jesus Christ. And you stand before God the Father, not as innocent as a newborn baby down at Methodist Hospital, but as a newborn baby in Bethlehem's manger. You stand washed clean in the sight of Almighty God. And you can't thank your preacher for that, and you can't thank your mama for that, but you can thank your Lord for that. I am cleansed, praise God. Though my sins were scarlet, I am washed and as white as snow. And so now I can join with the psalmist David and say, no longer are my sins following me as some man's sins are, but surely goodness and mercy are following me all the days of my life. And that's the reason why I dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I come to celebrate the one that made me sinless. God does not see you as he sees the agnostic and the atheist and the unbeliever. He sees you as holy as Christ himself. If you can't understand that, you don't understand the gospel. But if you understand that, you are newborn. You are a new creature. You are a praiser of Almighty God. Condemnation has been lifted and joy floods your heart. And every day of your life, you don't get up and say, I thank God I've got a new apartment or a new car or new clothes. You say, thank God today I am free, for he whom the Son has set free is free indeed. His mercy is new every morning. Christ is constantly interceding for me. Who is he that condemneth? No man can condemn you. If anybody condemns you and you washed in the blood, they are a liar. You need to stand up and give praise to Almighty God every day of your life. And said, every time I see a penitentiary, I say I'm not there. When I see a hospital, I say I'm not there. When I see people that are addicted to drugs, I am not there. One reason, because Christ took away my sins. I am washed in the blood of Jesus Christ. This is not change in your mind. This is not a motivational speech. This is the gospel of Jesus Christ. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And we have received his glorious gospel. And we are a different people. New creatures. A peculiar people. A set apart people. We are a people that are disconnected to this world. And we're now connected to the world to come. Every day of our life, it ought to be joy unspeakable and full of glory. Every day of your life, you shouldn't have to praise God just because you got a raise at work. work. You ought to praise God who you are, that you live in Christ, that you move in Christ, that your being is in Christ, that you are indeed a new creature, that that awful cancer called sin has no effect on you. You are newborn, and you ought to be a praiser of Almighty God. You shouldn't just sing the words on the screen. You ought to invent words of your own that can only tell your story. Nobody else can tell it. You are an epistle seen and read of all men. I'm not what I used to be. I don't do what I used to do. I don't go where I used to go. I have been changed because somehow the glorious God of the universe supernaturally came into my life, severed me from sin. My appetite is not the same. My thoughts are not the same. My actions are not the same. My hopes are not the same. I am gloriously saved. Gloriously saved. Ladies and gentlemen, if you get truly saved, there won't be one verse in the Bible you're afraid of, because you can look at verse after verse and say, that's my verse, that's my verse. And then you can look at that verse and say, that verse no longer applies to me. You're able to dissect and rightly divide the Word of God until you're not afraid of one verse in the Bible. You say, praise God, I know who I am. I know where I've come from. I know where I'm going. I know what God has done in my life. And the only thing that remains for me now is to share my story, to share my witness, and to prepare for that which is to come. And what is prepared for me is better than what is behind me. Every day is greater. Every day is stronger. Every day is richer. Every day I'm closer to my final reward. Every day I'm about to see Jesus face to face. And so I thank God. I thank God. In a sin-cursed world, I am totally set free and delivered from it. Can you give God some praise in this house today? Stand on your feet and give God praise that He has separated you from the curse of sin. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. R.G. Lee, one of the greatest preachers that ever preached. He pastored several churches, but the last 40 years of his life, he pastored the great Bellevue Baptist Church in Memphis, Tennessee. One of the greatest preachers that you would ever hear. I never met him in person. He died when I was a young man, but I've listened to his sermons on tape. But his most famous sermon is Payday Someday. And he's got just an amazing sermon, but in that sermon there's a story of when he was pastoring in New Orleans, Louisiana. He had a man that hated him, and he would write him letters regularly, terrible letters, because R.G. was on the radio constantly in New Orleans. He'd write these terrible letters, call him everything you could possibly call a human, and he would always sign it, not his name, but he would sign it Chief of the Kangaroo Court. He got those letters for years, and one day he received a call from the hospital. And the hospital said, Reverend Lee, there's a man dying here. We don't know whether you're available or not, but he doesn't have long. Could you come to the hospital? He's begging for you to come here. He said, I'll be right there. He said he walked down an aisle, and he heard a man screaming before he ever got there. And he said, I walked into that room, and he said, Reverend, I'm the chief of the Kangaroo Court. He'd never laid eyes on him before. He said, I'm dying. I'm an atheist. I'm an agnostic. I'm a non-believer. I've cursed Christians all of my life. I've cursed their God. I've cursed you. But I'm dying now. But he said, I want to tell you one thing to tell the people that listen to you now. Some people say the devil doesn't pay. He said, he pays. But he pays in counterfeit money. He said, I'm dying, and I'm going to meet the devil right now. And he said, I don't know what to do about it, Dr. Lee. Ladies and gentlemen, there is a real devil. There is a real hell. But greater than the devil and greater than hell, there is a Jesus Christ that loves you beyond all comprehension. And if you want to, if you want to, if you want to, you don't have to be an addict. You don't have to be addicted. You don't have to be in sin. You don't have to live a miserable life. Jesus said, all ye that are heavy laden, come unto me. Cast your cares on me. And ladies and gentlemen, I am a living testimony that year after year and day after day, trial after trial, onslaught against onslaught means nothing, because in the Father's hand you are secure, and no demon, no man, no trial can pluck you out. If you have been saved today, if you're free from sin today, don't let the devil bring false depression to your life. Get up and rejoice and say, I might not be making $1,000 an hour, but I'm saved. I might not have a Rolls Royce, but praise God, sin has no attachment to me. I might not live in the dominion, but thank God I'm the happiest woman or man in the city of San Antonio, because I am free from sin. And thank God I'm on my way to Jesus Christ to live for eternity in His presence. Can you give the Lord a big praise? I wonder if there's anybody in this building today that would just walk down this aisle and one of two things.